The plan of salvation. The plan of salvation. As we grow up, we make many plans. What school should I go to? What career should I go into? Even a funny one, who should I marry? I don't mean that being funny, I just, when you're younger, you don't think about that. How many children should I have? Somebody said four. No, it's an example. See, he's hungry. He wants to eat some spiritual food. Bless you. Where shall we go on vacation? How many has been on a vacation recently since it was summer? I know somebody over here. Somebody over here? Amen, because he has brought you all back safely. What house should I buy? Little house? Medium house? Big house? I used to think that way. I thought I could get a big house if I worked hard, but that wasn't the plan. These are very important questions in our lives. Should I go to church today? I don't know if y'all should have came to church, because all you're going to hear is just some fool up here babbling about the Bible. But I praise the Lord that you all came anyways. The most important question ever asked is, what shall we do to be saved? What shall we do to be saved? Nothing is of most importance to us than our salvation. Without having a clear understanding of how we can be saved, how I can be saved, is detrimental to the spiritual life of a professed Christian. A professed Christian. There's a lot of misunderstanding on this topic. You see, the devil tries to mix the truth with error so that people may be lost. It is my intention to present a series on this topic, and today I will present part one. You see, because this bottle is full of water, but I took the tip of a pen, just a tip, and I dabbed it in some poison, and I put it in here. But it's still okay to drink, right? Why? It's just a dab. Nonsense. It was just a tip of a pen. Look at all that water that's in here. Like a hair that was just dipped in here. You see, brothers and sisters, that's how the devil is. Does that make sense? Just that little tip into all this pure water. All this. But poison is still poison. And if we're not rooted and based in the tried and true scriptures of our Lord and Savior, we'll be lost. Since Adam and Eve were the first parents, were the first humans being created by God, and they sinned, hence it is only appropriate that we take a closer look at how they became saved after their fall. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 2, verse 16. So, what did God say to Adam and Eve before their fall? Verse 16 says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of some tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely." Huh? Okay, I apologize. It has a little glitch in my KJV tablet. Of every tree See, if you didn't have the Bible, I could just sit down up here and tell you, right? Some, but it's here. It says every. Every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, right? Or thou mayest eat freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Should they eat of the forbidden fruit, death is the result. Death is the result. In other words, they would lose eternal life, correct? Or die instantly. Yes, that's what God said. As long as they would continue to obey God, they would still have immortality. This point has to be understood well. But the moment they would disobey God and eat of that fruit, of knowledge and good, of good and evil, they would lose eternal life. They would experience death. Did Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit? Let's let the Bible tell us, because I can't tell you. I might lie. I'm just human. In Genesis 3, verse 1 through 5. Now, this is pretty funny, because I'm going to break this down real quick. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of this garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth not know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I get spooked easy sometimes. Now, if I'm walking through the forest, and I see these big antlers walking toward me, say, hey, I'd be like, I run. You got this woman here who was just told not to eat. She's looking at this serpent, speaking to her. Something wrong with that picture? I'd be like, I gotta go. My husband's over here. There's something wrong right there. Do you agree? I mean, maybe some of you are like, I don't know, what's that sorcery movie, Harry Potter, talking to snakes and stuff? Kind of crazy. I wouldn't be standing around if an animal started talking to me. I'd be running. I'd be beating out Usain Bolt. Somebody talk to me like that, especially an animal? No, that's something wrong there. See, in verse 4, through the serpent, the devil told the biggest lie to Eve. Listen carefully to what he said in verse 4. What verse is that? You will not surely die if you eat of the forbidden fruit. You will be like God. You will have immortality while in sin. Your reward for disobeying God is eternal life, not death. Huh? Satan is buttering her up. See, that was his plan. You, my brother, you'll be okay. Come and work on Sabbath. I'll give you 100,000 G's. It's okay, one day. Don't worry about the rest of the week. Just come on Saturday. You, I will make my number one employee. You, I will give a Benz to. Come on Saturday. You guys see that? See the deception? It's okay. The rest of the week, you can cruise around on that. I'll give you a gas card too. Just come in for an hour. Satan was the one that promises eternal life in disobedience. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not eternal life. Did you notice that the devil said, you will surely not die. The devil was saying that you can have eternal life while you are still sinning. In other words, the devil is saying you can be saved in sin instead of from sin. Did you get that? If Adam and Eve were to lose eternal life in disobedience, then salvation must be maintained by obedience to God. As long as they would continue to obey God, they would continue to enjoy immortality. Amen? It is very simple. What happened after Adam and Eve sinned? Adam and Eve lost immortality immediately. Death was the result. They did not live eternally, but had a short period of life and died. In Genesis 5, verse 5. Genesis 5, verse 5. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. This is the first death. The Bible calls this death asleep. Any of you out there believe in ghosts? I was teaching some young children over the past several weeks Bible studies, and we came across death. And I had to break down to them about the reality of ghosts and fallen demons, that there was not such thing as ghosts, but just demons. But you see, it was funny, because when I was explaining that to them, I would refer back in my memory to my mother, my sister, my aunt. You ever seen those vampire movies, and everybody's going and doing this thing with a wooden cross and stuff, trying like to scare the vampire? It's funny, because I would come to my mom's house, and in the foot of the bed there would be a Bible. And on the dresser, there would be a Bible. And on the desk, there would be a Bible. And on her pillow would be a Bible. It's funny, because you see, people don't realize that Lucifer, he was the number one angel. He'll take this from you and read it to you. If the devil comes up upon you, what are you gonna do? Get back? No, I don't think so. See, death is just sleep. In Patriots and Prophets, page 60, immortality was promised them on condition of obedience. By transgression, the world forfeit eternal life. I mean, they would forfeit eternal life. That very day, they would be doomed to death. Why Adam and Eve never died eternally after sin? You ever think about that? Had they collapsed and died immediately, then they would have died eternally, since they would have no opportunity to repent and be given eternal life. God, by his own grace, spared their lives despite their sin. I know he spared mine despite my sins. They were still alive after their sin. So let us ask another question. Why Adam and Eve did not collapse and die immediately? In Ephesians, what book did I say? Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 5, 3, 4 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Before Adam and Eve were created, God had already made a plan that should they sin, it is to be implemented. That is why they never died immediately. The plan of salvation has been laid before the creation of the earth. For Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. Yet it was a struggle, even with the King of the universe, to yield up his son. How many of you would struggle out there with children to yield up your son, knowing that they must die for strangers? To yield up your children for somebody that will spit on them, somebody that will beat them and crucify them. It would be a struggle, wouldn't it? I know it would be, because I have four sons. Even letting them go play sports, I'm still struggling with it. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm sorry. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, the mystery of redemption. The love of God for the world that he did not love him. For a world that did not love him, God was to be manifest in Christ. Page 63 and 64, Patriots and Prophets. What was the plan of salvation from eternity? Jesus, who was God, would become the sin bearer. Did you hear that? The sin bearer. So maybe your son could die for me if I did something bad. Maybe your daughter. Would you let your daughter die for me someday? I mean, if I went out there and just lived a life of lavish, would you still let your daughter die for me? Would you love your daughter that much? Would any of you? Christ would take upon him the guilt and shame of sin. Sin so offensive to a holy God that it must separate the Father from the Son. Christ would reach to the depths of misery to receive the ruined race. Patriots and Prophets, page 63. Jesus, who was God, took the penalty of sin upon him. And that gave Adam and Eve an opportunity to be still alive after their sin. This gives them a temporary life to allow them to see God's grace in dying in their place. I couldn't see any of your children dying in my place. Why God had to die instead of an angel? Since the law is as sacred as God, no creature, did you hear me, folks? No man, no woman, no child, no angel could die in Adam and Eve's behalf except God himself. That is why Jesus Christ became the substitute for Adam and Eve, for you and me. Since the divine law is sacred, as God himself, only the equal with God could make the atonement for its transgression. None but Christ alone could redeem the fallen man from the curse of the laws and bring him again into harmony with heaven. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 63. I apologize. When I talk about the Lord and Savior, He gets to me. If Jesus was not God, then He could not have become our sin bearer. In John 1, turn with me if you would, please. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And if we jump to verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only," the what? "Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was the Word. He became incarnated into humanity to save Adam and Eve, you and me. And all sinners, since God cannot die, He had to be incarnated into humanity in order to be able to die at Calvary. Jesus was born of a woman, inherited a mortal body that enabled Him to die at Calvary. Again, Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, as we read in Revelation 13:8. The first innocent animal sacrifice in their behalf took the penalty of sin. Since that time, forgiveness of sins can only be remitted through the blood of the Lamb, which pointed to Jesus Christ at Calvary. If the law could be changed, then Jesus could not have died, but since Jesus died in Adam and Eve's place, it only proves that the law could not be changed at all. We hear about it. The law is being changed. Were Adam and Eve forgiven and given eternal life unconditionally? The answer is no. While God was gracious in implementing the plan of salvation, however, He did not in any way forgive their sins and gave them eternal life unconditionally. Adam and Eve had to have faith in their merits, in the merits of Jesus Christ, and respect and repent of their sins before immortality could be given again to them. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 66. The Son of God had offered to atone with His own life for their transgression, a period of probation would be granted them, and through repentance and faith in Christ, they might again become the children of God. I often think about Judas. And how he sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. I always think about, you fool. You were there every day. But yet at the end, did he repent? He saw the miracles. He walked with him and ate with him. But in the end, he did not repent. The gospel was first preached to Adam by Christ. Adam and Eve felt sincere sorrow and repentance for their guilt. They believed the precious promise of God, were saved from utter ruin. Review and Herald, April 29th, 1875. There was no such thing in the Word of God as unconditional election. Manuscripts 57, 1900. God's amazing grace. He became the sin bearer for Adam and Eve. Had Christ not become their sin bearer, they would have died eternally. What about us, brothers and sisters? What about us when we're reading the scriptures? When you and I sinned, God could have killed us immediately. The reason we are still alive today is because he loved us and never killed us immediately. Like what he did to Adam and Eve, he spared their lives to give them an opportunity to repent. Because of God's grace, Jesus died already on Calvary so that you do not collapse. I do not collapse and die immediately after sinning. He gave us an opportunity to see his grace with the hope that we would, you and me, come back to him in repentance. As we see in Ezekiel 18, verse 20 through 24. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. Verse 22, all his transgression that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Verse 24, but when the righteous turneth, the what? When the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. Lord have mercy. In his trespass that he has trespassed, in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. A sinner is justified by God when he repents. Selected Messages, Book 3, page 193.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory to the church and all Christ's churches throughout all generations. To our Lord be glory to the church and all Christ's churches throughout all generations. To our Lord be glory to the church and all Christ's churches throughout all generations. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory to the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. To him be glory to the church and then Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, sing glory to the church, and then Christ Jesus, throughout now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. More than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to
Paul wrote, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Last night, as I was going through this message, I believe the Holy Spirit enlightened me that when I was out in the world, I was a Saul. I wasn't slaying people's lives physically. You see, brothers and sisters, I was slaying them spiritually. Because I knew what it was, what it's called, a light. But I was too busy with my plan, with Danny's plan. Danny was too busy in the clubs. Leslie was too busy getting drunk. Because that was Danny's plan. Because Danny wanted to be on top of the world. Danny wanted to be known by all of you. Danny wanted his name, a household name. That was Danny's plan. But the Bible took me to a passage where it says, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst make the nation, weaken the nations. Now hear this right here. This is where I came in. Count them with me. For thou hast said in thine heart, See, that's what I did. I will ascend into heaven. I was out in the world. I wanted everybody to know me. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, when I was out there, it was, I had to get this. I had to get that. Right there in those two verses were five I's. That was my plan. See, brothers and sisters, we're all pulling in our own way. We're all pulling, trying to get there. But do we realize our plan of salvation? Is it I that you're saying? Or is it He that is in your plan for your salvation? Yes, friends, Jesus Christ has already died to save us 2,000 years ago. The Bible did not say He died and saved us. The Bible says that He died already. While we were yet sinners, He already made the provision where we could be saved even before we were born. He died to save us. He died to save us. It's not the same as He died and saved us. His death at Calvary did not save anyone. Did not save anyone unconditionally. If we love Him for what He has done to us, what He has done to save us, then what is holding us back from loving Him? Say amen.
Amen.
At this time, I'd like to ask everybody who is capable of standing to please stand for our closing prayer. Father God, it is our humble prayer and our wish that our plan of salvation may have you in the front foremost, dear Lord. Because we know, dear Lord, that your time is coming soon, that the devil is going to be bound up and your son will come to get those that are saved. Dear Lord, we humbly pray again, because it is the Sabbath, that anoint each and every one with the sound of my voice, that the Holy Spirit may be poured out upon them, and they may take that light with them, dear Lord, and feed those that are hungry for the Spirit, the spiritual meals that they have been fed today, dear Father. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. There are not enough words and prayers of men can thank you, but we just want to thank you in our feeble mouths, Father God. We thank you for all that you do. May we leave here with your mercy, and we come back with your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we humbly ask and pray these things. And the church say, amen. Amen.